This is KDNK's local and regional news. I'm Marilyn Gleason. The Pickens County Sheriff's Office and Mountain Rescue Aspen are searching for a missing 19-year-old, Stephen Bull, who was last seen near Woody Creek Plaza yesterday morning. Residents and local businesses are asked to report anything suspicious to the dedicated tip line at 970-716-4160. The sheriff's office is telling the public not to approach or engage if they see Bull, as he may be armed. Again, the number is 970-716-4160. Homegrown racing phenom Michaela Schifrin from Vail extended her records in racing history last weekend at Copper Mountain. Her 104th World Cup win outstrips any other ski racer, but a nasty fall last season may be dampening her performance in speed events. She won the slalom on Sunday at Copper, but placed 14th in the giant slalom on Saturday. Schifrin suffered a puncture wound in her abdomen early last season and required surgery after she slid through netting at the course boundary in a fall. Hopes are high for a better result on home snow at Beaver Creek this weekend. After winning in Austria last week, Schifrin remains the United States' brightest medal prospect for the Milano Cortina Olympics coming up in February. Marco Odermatt of Switzerland won the downhill season opener at Beaver Creek earlier this afternoon. He beat American Ryan Cochran-Siegel on a tricky but shortened Birds of Prey course. His run took just a flash under 1.5 minutes. Odermatt has won the last two overall World Cup downhill titles. Today's downhill was originally scheduled for tomorrow, but was moved ahead as weather moved in at Beaver Creek. The Birds of Prey Super G at Beaver Creek, initially scheduled for Saturday, will now take place tomorrow. There will be no race on Saturday due to the incoming snow. At the same time as race schedules are being shuffled by predicted snowfall, winter's warm, dry start is reshaping the courses at the races in Beaver Creek. Today's downhill started where it usually does, high on the hill, but the Super G tomorrow and upcoming giant slalom will begin higher up the hill than usual. The finish line has also moved up to the snow. Once athletes cross the finish line, they'll ski down to the traditional finish area where fans will greet them. Super G races begin tomorrow at 11:15 from the men's downhill foul weather start at the top of Brink. Sunday's giant slalom is still scheduled for first runs at 10 o'clock. More than 130 elite skiers from 27 nations will compete in this year's World Cup races. The Colorado Water Conservation Board approved a deal last month to co-manage one of the oldest water rights on the Colorado River with the Western Slope. The Colorado River District, which represents 15 Western Slope counties, agreed to purchase the Shoshone water right from Xcel Energy in 2023, with one of the conditions being that the right, located in Glenwood Canyon at the Shoshone Power Plant, would be part of the state's in-stream flow program. It's a program for water rights that help preserve the natural environment. The approval comes despite objections from utility companies in Denver, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and other fast-growing Front Range communities. Taylor Hawes, who represents the Colorado River's main stem on the Conservation Board, spoke during a six-hour meeting on Wednesday. She said she understood concerns on both sides and believes that Water Court, which has to sign off on the deal, will help determine what's fair.
That has been kind of the heart of all of this, and that is the Water Court's job. And I hope we can all trust that the Water Court's process will give us a result where we don't have to worry about that, that everyone's concerns will be addressed in that process.
So far, the River District has raised about $57 million from Western Slope communities to complete the $99 million purchase. The federal government also committed $40 million for the purchase in 2024, but those funds are currently frozen by the Trump administration. Redstone's sixth holiday market is coming up this Saturday, featuring dozens of local artists, a horse-drawn carriage, and a silent auction. KDNK's Lily Jones has more.
The holiday market is being put on by the Redstone Art Foundation for the sixth year in a row this Saturday. Art Foundation President Dion Holt is excited to bring back this local classic.
It's all handmade, locally made goods. We've got some indoor space. We do have a number of restaurants that are going to be offering hot drinks to warm up. We've got a free horse-drawn shuttle from the Redstone Inn, and it'll stop along the boulevard. We've got kids' crafts, carolers, Santa, lots of festive cheer.
The Redstone Art Foundation has been operating for almost 30 years, its main event being the Labor Day Art Show. The arts are an important part of Redstone's economic well-being, and Holt says that she and her team are looking to expand.
Our main mission is to promote and support the arts in the Crystal Valley, so we're really looking to get our local artists out there and giving them a venue to display their work and sell their work. There's a number of businesses that really rely on the arts. There's the gallery, the Redstone store, and then new space next door, the Redstone trading station. They're all selling local artists and local crafts people throughout the year. But the holiday market is just a great way to really put a focus on local artists in the Crystal Valley.
Holt says there's a lot to look forward to as the team moves forward with new ideas.
We're looking to put on more events for the local community, including artist talks and classes.
The market will be open this Saturday from 10 to 4 along the boulevard from Redstone Inn all the way to Propaganda Pie. For KDNK News, I'm Lily Jones.
Colorado saw a sharp rise in domestic violence deaths last year. With shelters at capacity and funding drying up, the state is struggling to keep survivors safe. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Kyle McKinnon reports.
For many survivors, the first step toward help is a call to 1-800-799-7233.
Thank you for calling the National Domestic Violence Hotline. In a few words, tell us what type of support you need from our advocates.
More Coloradans are making that call, and we'll give the number again at the end of this story. But a new report from Attorney General Phil Weiser's office makes it clear domestic violence is up in Colorado. Last year, deaths rose 24%, even as overall homicides fell. 38 victims were killed by an abusive partner. 8 children were killed, which is the most in state history. In all, domestic violence made up roughly a quarter of all Colorado homicides. Shelters say those numbers match what they're seeing, too.
We've had a 29% increase in the number of crisis calls that we've gotten in the past year.
Diane Held runs a woman's place in Greeley. She says demand is outpacing capacity. Her shelter had to turn away hundreds of people this year. In Fort Collins, Lori Warren with Crossroads Safe House says the violence is getting more extreme, with more cases involving strangulation and weapons.
Pre-COVID, we saw, 20 of those cases a year at Crossroads, and to this day post-COVID, we're seeing 20-plus a month.
Candace Coolidge, head of the expansive Porchlight Family Justice Center in Lakewood, is seeing the same trend.
Everything is even more severe. Just the incidents are really, really awful.
The statewide picture is similar, says Soledad Diaz with Violence Free Colorado, and the barriers to finding help are even higher for people who don't speak English.
If there's one population right now that we know for sure that are not looking for services, it's our immigrant population.
Once a survivor enters the legal system, the challenges compound. Fort Collins attorney Haley Dunn handles civil domestic violence cases. She says danger is almost always visible long before a major injury, but courts often miss it.
Unless it gets to the point where there's serious bodily injury or a homicide, it's kind of not seen as that harsh of a situation.
Dunn says survivors often juggle criminal, civil, and family court at once. And many ultimately drop cases because of financial pressure, retaliation fears, or childcare. And when children are involved, stakes rise. Colorado courts start with an expectation of 50-50 parenting time, and survivors must argue against it. Dunn says abusers often use that to keep control.
What's the easiest way to hurt someone? It's to hurt their children.
Democratic House Majority Leader Monica Duran has sponsored several domestic violence bills in recent years. Next legislative session in January, she's pushing for an assessment protocol to help first responders identify danger immediately.
We're always there for when the act has happened, but what can we do ahead of time?
But Duran says even the strongest policies won't fully work without steady funding. Shelters, justice centers, and community programs still rely heavily on federal dollars that have largely dried up. Across the system, everyone points to the same missing piece.
Funding.
You need more funding to be able to provide these services.
We need the funding.
Throw money at this.
It all comes down to funding.
Until then, the people helping survivors of domestic violence every day say they'll do as much as they can with the resources they have.
That was Kyle McKinnon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Anyone experiencing domestic violence or in crisis should call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. That's 1-800-799-7233. This is KDNK News.